You've heard me say often from this pulpit that love is not a passive word. Love is just not a feeling. Love is a word of action. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And we know about God's love because of the gift that he gave us. I would submit to you this morning that mother is the same kind of word. Mother is not just a word that describes somebody that's given physical birth to another person. Mother is an action word. Mother is a word that makes us think of all the actions that our mothers have taken for us that have expressed their love for us. This morning, I want to speak on the subject. I entitled my message, Four Things Every Mother Should Do. And I want to use four different mothers from the Bible present to you this morning four things that not only every mother should do. I mean, if I just preach to mothers this morning, I know the fathers here will say, well, I don't need to listen. He's preaching to mothers. I would submit to you that as I talk to mothers, that I could talk to every dad, because every dad needs to do these same things for their children. Every grandfather, every grandmother needs to do these same things for their children. And so let me just quickly mention them to you this morning. The first one is to give your child to the Lord. You need to do that for your children. You need to do that for your grandchildren. You just need to give them to the Lord. Of course, Hannah, Samuel's mother, is a good example of that. We meet her in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Her husband's name was Elkanah. She wanted a child. She prayed for a child. She begged God for a child. We read part of her prayer in 1 Samuel 1:11, where the Bible says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Eli was the high priest at that time, and he often watched as people prayed. And he saw Hannah as she prayed, and he saw her lips moving, but he didn't hear anything coming out of her mouth. And he jumped to the conclusion, say, this woman is drunk. And he rebuked her. And Hannah said to him, no, it's just sorrow of spirit. I'm just so brokenhearted that I just want a child, and that's what I'm praying for. And when Eli realized that it was sorrow of spirit and she was breaking, her heart was breaking, she was pouring her heart out to God, he joined her in that prayer. And not too long after that, a little boy was born to Hannah. She named him Samuel, which means heard by God. And the Bible tells us a story. When Samuel was weaned, Hannah brought Samuel to Eli, the high priest, and here's what she said. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent or given to the Lord. I want to remind every mom and every dad, every grandpa and every grandma, and every other person in this room this morning, that Samuel and every other child belongs to God. Amen. Children are a gift from the Lord. It's an act of God. I don't believe there's any child born by accident. I believe that every child that's born in, that is conceived and born into this world is according to God's plan, and it's just as much an act of creation as when God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. None of us would be here this morning unless God determined that we were going to be here. Yeah, he didn't make us from the dust of the ground like he made Adam. He didn't make us from a rib and flesh like he made Eve. He used mom and dad to make us, but we are here this morning because God wants us here. We are here according to his plan. You and I would not be here if it wasn't for Almighty God. And so every child belongs to God. And he just loans them to us. They're one of the blessings that he gives us. And every mom and every dad, every grandpa, every grandma ought to follow Hannah's example and give that child back to God. As we do that, it will help us realize what a privilege it is to raise children. You have something that belongs to God. He has entrusted you with that treasure. Say, Pastor, what you're saying right now doesn't apply to me because my children are already grown and raised. Well, let me ask you, where in the Bible does it say that a mother or a father's influence no longer counts when their children are raised? Give me chapter and verse. Can anybody? You can't, because it's not in there. Every mom, every dad, every grandpa, every grandma, I don't care how old your children are, you still have a part in shaping them. You still have a part in making them the person that God wants. I don't care if they're 2 years old. I don't care if they're 32 years old. It doesn't matter. And even older than that. I mean, hey, if you're a mom and you're a dad, God still expects you to use your influence on your children and on your grandchildren. That's the expectation that God has. And as we realize that those children belong to God, it would help us to be more faithful in our responsibilities. Too many dads and too many moms have given up on their children. They've done like Pilate and washed their hands and say, my job is done. I can't do anything else. No, 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 1,000 times no. You still have, you may not realize it. Your kids may be putting up a front and said, hey, there's nothing that mom says, there's nothing that dad says that makes any difference. But don't you believe that for a second. God can still use you to influence their children. You have that responsibility. And again, I don't care how old they are. You certainly have it when they're young. You certainly have it when they need you to protect them and to teach them. But that responsibility doesn't end when they move out of the nest. You still have that responsibility before God to use the influence to help raise your children. And as you give them back to God, as you say, Lord, this is a treasure you've entrusted me with. I realize that they belong to you, but I claim no ownership. I claim no possession. They are yours. Amen. And if the Lord decides to call them to service in a land far away, to be a missionary or a teacher representing Christ in some far distant place of the earth, if God calls them to do that, mom and grandpa won't have broken hearts because they know that that child belongs to God. God has a plan for their life, and God is calling them to that plan. Amen. And if God, and I know some of you here this morning have gone through this, but if God decides to call that child back to heaven, then we know that that child belongs to God because he's called him back home. He's called him back home. And so we need to give our children to the Lord. Number two, we need to pray for them. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 is a good example. Her son was working with his dad in the field. He got a headache and his head began to hurt. His dad called one of the servants and said, take this boy to his mother. And the servant took the young man back to his mom. She laid his head in his lap, probably put a cold wash rag on. It doesn't say that in the Bible. I can just imagine that in my mind. Took a cold rag, put it on his head, stroked his hair. And in her lap, her son dies. The prophet Elisha was a friend of this family. In fact, he had a room in the house. This woman had made this room. Her and her husband had made this room for Elisha. And every time he come through town, he stayed with them. In fact, it was an answer to Elisha's prayer that God gave this couple, this son. And so when her boy dies, mom carries him up to Elisha's room. She lays him on Elijah's bed, and she runs to Elijah. I'm going to read from 2 Kings. You don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to read a couple verses from 2 Kings chapter 4. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehaziel came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. And if thou meet any man, salute him not. And if he salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." So Elisha realized that this young man was dead. He told the servant, "Here's my staff. Take it. Put it on the face of that boy." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. When this little boy died, mom went to the man of God and said, "I need you to come. My boy is dead. I need you to come and do what you can do." Elisha said, "I'll send my servant. Here's my staff. Represents the power of God. Gehaziel, you take my staff and you put it on the face of that young man and let's see what God will do." And mom said, "No, no." She had hold of his feet and she said, "I'm not going to let you go until you come. I don't want your servant. I don't want your representative. I don't want your staff. I want you." And you read the rest of the story. Elisha came. He brought that boy back to life. But here's an example of a mother that says, "I'm going to go to God on behalf of my child, and I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit bugging him. I'm going to go to the man of God, and I'm not going to let go of him, and I'm not going to quit bugging him until he comes and helps my boy." Prayer is asking and getting things from God. That's what prayer is. And here was a mother that says, "I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to let go of God. I'm not going to stop bombarding heaven. My prayers are going to go up, and they're going to go up, and they're going to go up until Elisha comes." And we need to pray for our children the same way. Every mom, every dad, every grandpa, every grandma. We need to have that same attitude of prayer for our children as we pray, first of all, for their salvation. We ought to grab hold of God. Not literally, we can't do that, but figuratively, we ought to grab hold of God and we ought to say, "God, my little boy, my little girl needs to be saved. My little grandson, my little granddaughter needs to be saved. And I'm going to stay down on my knees. I'm going to keep my face on the floor. Tears are going to flow out of my eyes. I'm not going to let go until he or she receives Jesus as their Savior." But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Adam talked about it in open assembly. That little boy, that little girl is going to grow up. They're going to have to make decisions. They're going to have to decide where they go to college. They're going to have to decide what job they're going to work at. They're going to have to decide where they live. They're going to have to decide who they marry. And every one of those decisions that our children and our grandchildren make ought to be bathed until they're drowned in the prayers of mom and dad. Amen. And grandpa and grandma. You want to know what a mother is? You want to know what a dad is? It's a parent that gives their child back to God and then goes to God on their behalf and prays for that child. Number three, we ought to hide them from the world. We ought to hide them from the world as long as we can. Jochebed is a good example of that. We find her story in Exodus chapter 2. "And there went out a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was goodly, a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now you know the story. You know why Jochebed hid little baby Moses. It's because Pharaoh had ordered all the little Jewish boys to be killed. Moses was hid from the world to prevent him from being killed. Listen to me. The world today wants to destroy our children. That's the world's intent. And we need to hide them from this world as long as we can, and the death that this world will bring. Now, I know some people say, well, I don't want to protect my children. My children need to make their own decisions. They have the right and responsibility to do that. And if I start making all the choices for them, it's going to destroy their psyche. Let me ask you this morning, do you think Moses would have decided to get into that basket of bulrushes and take a ride in the Nile among all those alligators? He wasn't old enough to decide anything. Mama, put him in that basket. I mean, she hid him as long as she could in the house for 3 months, but he was getting to be a bigger boy. He cried louder. And so she said, I got to do something else. And so she put him in that basket of bulrushes and set him loose on the Nile. You, listen, I don't know how to make it any plainer. Don't listen to what the world says. Amen. If you have a little child at home, you have the responsibility and the right to help them make decisions. You help them decide what computer games to play. You help them decide what friends to have. You help them decide if they're going to watch TV or not, and what if they're going to listen to the radio and what they watch and what they listen to. You help them decide what books to read. You help them decide. Said, well, I don't want to be a dictator. Well, why not? One of these days, that little one will be old enough to decide. But until they do, you need to help them. Amen. You need to provide them guidance. That's what love does. And when they get so old that you can't hide them from the world, then you pump them full of good stuff so that the good stuff balances out the bad stuff that the world is going to put in them. That's what Jochebed did. You remember Miriam was there watching her little brother, and when the princes of Egypt came and found her, Miriam went up to her and said, hey, you want me to get a Jewish mom to raise that child for you? And the princess says, yeah, go get somebody. And Miriam went and got her mom. She was Moses' sister. And from the time that little baby came out of the basket in the Nile until the time that he went to Pharaoh's house, Mama was pumping his mind and pumping his heart with the things of God, so that when he got to Pharaoh's house and the world started pumping its garbage into him, Moses knew how to make decisions. And it says in the book of Hebrews, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he got old enough to decide for himself, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He made that decision because Mama pumped him full of the things of God, so that when he did have to go into the world, he said, I'm not going to be enticed by what the world has to offer. I'm going to remember what Mama taught me, and I'm going to choose what Mama taught me. A mother's love, how is that expressed? It's expressed when they give their children back to the Lord. It's expressed when they pray for them. It's expressed when they hide them. And then number three, that love is expressed when a mom and a dad or a grandpa or a grandma impart their faith to their children. Eunice is a good example. We read about her in 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul was talking to Timothy, and here's what he wrote. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was Paul's son in the gospel. He traveled with Paul. He was Paul's helper. Paul taught Timothy. But he said, and 2 Timothy was the last book that Paul wrote, and he was writing to Timothy. It was at the end of his life. And he says, Timothy, I know that you have an unfeigned faith Your faith is real. It's genuine. It's true. And I know where you got it. You got it from your mom. You got it from your mom. She's the one that put that faith in you. And so I ask every mother this morning, I ask every dad this morning, I ask every grandpa and every grandma, if your children or your grandchildren are going to have your faith, what are they going to get? What are they going to get? Will it be a faith that says God is real? A faith that says God is the creator and sustainer of everything. A faith that says, one day, I'll stand before God. I will stand before Him. Will it be a faith that says God keeps every one of His promises? He keeps the promise that He'll never leave us or forsake us, and that all things work together for good, and that He'll supply every need. Will it be a faith that says that? Will it be a faith that says, I'm a sinner, and I deserve to be punished by God? Will it be a faith that says, but I know that God loves me? A faith that says, and I know that He sent His Son Jesus to die for my sins. A faith that looks at the cross and says, there He was. He paid the price that I owed. A faith that says, I should have hung there. I should have been separated from God for my sins. A faith that says, but Jesus took my place. A faith that says, if I ask Him, He will save me. A faith that says, if I trust Him and I receive the sacrifice that He made for me on Calvary, He'll save me from every sin. Every mom and every dad and every grandfather and every grandmother ought to impart that kind of faith to their children. A faith that not only points them toward Jesus, but a faith that lives out before them that Christ can be trusted, and that He will save us from our sins, and He will make us right with God, and He will give us a place in heaven if we simply trust Him. If we simply trust Him. A mom can't do that unless she's exercised that faith herself. A dad can't do that unless they've exercised that faith themselves. A grandpa can't do that. A grandmother can't do that unless they've exercised that faith themselves. And so I say to every mom and to every dad, grandpa and grandma, that's never received Jesus as your Savior, how do you expect to impart anything to your children unless you don't have it yourself? I wouldn't wait another minute. I would come today. I would ask Jesus to be my Savior. I would trust what He did on Calvary. And then I'd live the rest of my life making sure that every one of my children and every one of my grandchildren got into the family of God. A mother's love, a dad's love, a grandparent's love would do no less than that. You have no excuse. You have no reason. If you have children, God's entrusted you with a precious, precious gift. How can you love them the way that God wants you to love them unless you come and make Jesus your Savior? Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every person in this room that's never done that. I can't think of a better day for them to make that decision than on Mother's Day 2019, a day set aside to honor moms, a day set aside to remind us to tell them that we love them. I can't think of a better day than for a mom or a dad, a grandpa or grandma, to come and make Jesus their Savior. And so I pray that You would speak to every heart, Holy Spirit, that has that need. Every life that's still under condemnation of sin. Every life that needs to come to Christ. In just a second, help them to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and I believe that you died for me, and right now I'm asking you to save me. Save me from the penalty of my sin. I trust you. I trust what you did on Calvary to take care of it. And right now I'm calling out to you and asking you to save me. There's a promise in the Bible that says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help each one that needs to do that, to do that. And then, Father, I pray for all the parents, all the grandparents. Help us to do these things that these godly mothers did. Give their children, give our children to you. Pray for them. Hide them as long as we can. And then impart our faith. And I pray if there's something in the way of us doing that, that we would come this morning, we'd give it to you, we'd get it out of our lives, so we could be the parents and the grandparents you ask us to be. Bless this time of invitation, Father. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.